Hey everyone, it's Adam. You know that saying, life gets in the way? Well, last week, life got in the way. We recorded this show last week, and I never got time to edit it and get it out to y'all. So that's what this week's show is going to be, is, well, last week's show. I want to say a big thank you to Josh for being supportive and understanding that this one fell behind. Some of the news might seem a little bit old. That's because it's a week old. And we're not watching Moon Knight anymore and then watch parties because, well, Moon Knight's over. But everything else should be good to go. So I hope you enjoy this week's episode. And next week we will be back reviewing Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
On this week's show, we give you our recommendations, we talk CinemaCon news, and we decide if this is going to be the best month for TV ever. We're back, Adam. You and I are back.
Yes.
Together again.
We are back, yes.
Yes.
How are you feeling, by the way?
I'm feeling much better. I was...
Nice.
I can't remember the last time I was as sick as I was that last week.
Oof.
I had what I think, and what the doctor thinks, was a really bad sinus infection. You know, that for... pretty much sidelined me for the week. I mean, I missed a couple of days of work. I had a fever for a few days that was coming and going, and woke up in a pool of sweat a couple times. But I'm on the mend and feeling better.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, and I'm happy to say I listened to last week's show with Megan, you and Megan from an autistic point of view. Yeah. And it was very interesting and educational for me, you know, and I work in an elementary building, so I'm certainly familiar with students that are on the spectrum of autism. And one of the things that stood out to me the most from that show was just... what rings true for me is always the kids that are maybe misdiagnosed sometimes or under or not diagnosed and not getting the help they need. And I think, you know, Megan, which that kind of struck a chord with me for sure. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was one of the most striking parts of it for me. Just talking to her and, you know, getting to know her over the last couple of years is her story there. So I was really happy that she was able to come on. I was bummed that you couldn't be there because, you know, being an educator, I was looking forward to your input on that one. But I am glad that you took the week off so you could rest up, feel better. That's the important thing. So.
Yeah, and even though I didn't get to be a part of that conversation, I got to listen to it, and you know, I appreciated it. So
yeah,
that was good to hear. Let's start with get into our recommendations here. What are you recommending this week?
I'm recommending something that I just watched actually today. This is an HBO original movie. It's on HBO Max. It's called The Survivor. This is a movie about Harry Haft, who was a boxer. Back in probably about the 40s, 50s. However, this kind of merges two different stories because he's also a Holocaust survivor. He was born in Europe and was taken to Auschwitz and survived that. It tells a story of him actually boxing in the concentration camps, and the it was kind of a I don't want to give anything away here, but it was kind of a way to keep him alive, you know, while not keeping others around him alive. That's the best way I can put that without giving anything away, how that works out. But then it's also this story about, you know, him losing some people that are close to him. And it's a really well done story. I'm not a huge fan of boxing movies, but this one I think is definitely worth it. The boxing action in this is kind of insanely well done. you feel some of these fights, especially there's a really well done segment with him and Rocky Marciano, and if you feel that fight. That fight is insane. But then, you know, it's just all around just really interesting, really well done, really heavy. You know, it's not really a family watch, but it's still a really worthy movie, and I highly recommend it. So.
Did you mention, is that on the streaming service?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max. It's an HBO original.
Okay, yeah, you did say that. Yeah.
Ben Foster plays Harry Haft. It also has Danny DeVito, Peter Sarsgaard, Billy Magnussen. Pretty good cast, and I think it's definitely worth it. So,
cool. Thank you for that recommendation. That sounds good.
Yeah.
For me, I have been rewatching the, I guess, part one of Ozark season 4, which released back in January, and the new season, or the, I guess, part two of the final season just debuted this past Friday. And so I wanted to get caught up, you know, and I mean, it was still pretty fresh for me, but I felt like I really needed that rewatch, and it'll be nice to just watch all 14 episodes all the way through that were split into two parts. So, you know, this season is absolutely just continues to be gripping, highly entertaining, very well acted, just show about all these various choices and their consequences and how it impacts the Bird family. And the son, Jonah, plays an even bigger role in this particular time around, and in the impact of a certain character's death at the end of season 3 really plays a big role in this season in part 1. And I'm looking forward to getting into part 2, which will be pretty soon. And then I'll give my thoughts on that eventually. But awesome. Cool. I can't say enough good things about Ozark. I highly recommend it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yep. And today we're talking a bit about the month of May and which May releases we're looking forward to the most. So that's going to be the topic of our one question to rule them all this week. So the question we're asking this week is, which of these May releases are you looking forward to the most? And it's kind of split. We have two films and two shows that are going to be having their premieres in May. We're starting off with the Multiverse of Madness, and then we have Obi-Wan Kenobi, Stranger Things 4, and Top Gun Maverick. So this is kind of a tough selection here. Adam, what does your heart tell you?
I'm kind of leaning towards Stranger Things 4 for me. And I know that's maybe a bit of a surprise, but I think that's
it is.
I think I'm leaning towards Stranger Things 4.
Okay.
Very good. I love Stranger Things with all my heart. It's the only reason I paid Netflix like $20 a month. I think it's that. And I know the other option was Kenobi, but I think it's Stranger Things for me.
Very, very, very good. Very good. Yes, I mean, this is tough. I'm looking forward to all of these releases. Stranger Things is definitely up there for me. And I started rewatching, from season one and everything recently. But the show I've been looking forward to, or, you know, maybe it was going to be a movie originally. The thing I'm looking forward to the most is when Disney purchased Lucasfilm, and I had this thought in my head of this Obi-Wan series that I wanted to see. So this is what I've been looking forward to the most ever since that acquisition, probably. When Kathleen Kennedy or whoever it was mentioned that certain characters could get their own stories, could get their own shows or their own movies. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to see this. I've been wanting to see Ewan McGregor back in this role. I've been wanting to see how that gap between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. So this is my most anticipated, and that's where my vote is going to go. But we also want to hear from you guys. What are your thoughts? We're going to put this poll out there on social media this week so you can answer that question. And are you ready to head into the news for this week?
I am.
Sold out? Every copy. Tomorrow morning, Spider-Man, page one, with a decent picture this time. Move Conway to page seven.
There's a problem with page
seven. I make it page eight and give him 10% off. Okay. I make it 5%.
That can't be done.
Get out of here!
So it just seems like fate does not favor the Fantastic Four, and that was actually unintentional alliteration right there. Fantastic Four has lost its director, John Watts, who, of course, was the director of the most recent Spider-Man trilogy. I think he just feels like it's been a pleasure doing this. He needs a bit of a break from the superhero thing. He has stepped down as the director for Fantastic Four. Kevin Feige released a statement just saying collaborating with John on the Spider-Man films has been a true pleasure. Looking forward to continuing our work with him. Understand his reasons for stepping away. Optimistic that they can work together again down the road, but I'm paraphrasing. So do you have a director of choice for this film, or are you just kind of hanging around waiting to see who's going to fill this spot?
I have no director of choice. I honestly don't think that this is going to affect the film that much at all. And I totally understand, John Watts wanting to do something else. Spider-Man was pretty big three movies, and I understand him wanting to branch out and try something new. But I don't think this is going to ruin this movie or, any of that stuff. I think it's all going to be gravy.
I'm looking forward to see what they can do with this, with these characters, with the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Looking forward to see who steps into that role as the director.
This isn't going to be, a Zack Snyder to Joss Whedon type thing. It's not going to happen that way. So I'm not worried about this at all. And I think whoever steps in, will do just fine picking this film up.
I can't argue with that. Marvel, they are a well-oiled machine, and they will figure it out, I'm sure. Next up, we're going to look at Avatar. Avatar 2 officially now has a title, has a few images associated with that title, and it's going to be called Avatar: The Way of Water. James Cameron, I think, has been working so long on these sequels because he's been trying to master how to capture filming underwater or capturing an underwater story in maybe a new way. So fitting title for that, The Way of Water. I think it's largely going to focus on the world, you know, under the sea, so to speak.
Under the sea.
And, you know, I don't know how excited I am about this.
I couldn't be less excited. Really? I don't, yeah. I mean, even the re-release of the first one in the theaters, remastered or whatever, I mean, I'm not going to go see it.
Right.
And I'm not very excited at all about the second one. I mean, I'll watch it at some point. I didn't love the first one. I appreciated what it did in terms of, you know, digital filmmaking and, you know, kind of being that first big ticket 3D film. Usher that era in, for better or worse.
I thought that was incredible in 3D. I'm not a big fan overall of 3D, but I thought they did a fantastic job with that first one.
But I mean, as far as the film itself, the story, it just wasn't for me, I guess. It didn't capture me. I've tried to watch it again. It just doesn't capture me at all. So I don't know. We'll see. I guess I can reserve some judgment.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I actually really loved the first one. I thought it was a familiar story, but kind of told in a different way on a different type of world. And I really did enjoy it. For me, it's just been that amount of time that has passed. And looking at like these images, even. Yeah, I mean, this is quite a long time after. I mean, I think the first one came out in 2009. And now we're looking at 2022 for the sequel. Mm-hmm. And these images that I'm looking at, even, you know, in this gallery here that are, again, we're on comingsoon.net here for this one. But I'm sure you can see the images in lots of different places. But it looks like they could have been pulled right from the first film. And I know these are just images, and maybe the film itself will be more impressive and everything than the first one. But again, it looks very kind of similar, and I guess continuity is important. You want it to look not totally different from how that first one did, but just wanted to point
that out.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, even Incredibles 2, there's how many years between those, and there's a very noticeable difference in how they look. Still worked, you know?
Right. Well, that's Avatar, and that is coming later this year on December 16th, 2022. And a couple movies that are even a little bit further out, and I'm not necessarily going in order here, Adam, but we're going to talk about Mission Impossible. And what I guess I didn't realize, I thought we were getting Mission Impossible 7 and 8, and we are, but it's really a part 1, part 2 type of situation. So at Paramount's CinemaCon panel, Tom Cruise announced that it's going to be called Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, and then Mission Impossible
Part
Dead
2.
Reckoning Part 2. And they're going to be released on July 14th of 2023, and then June 28th of 2024.
Where did we start this Part 1, Part 2 stuff?
Harry Potter?
Was it Harry Potter?
Was it Deathly Hallows?
Might have been.
I think that's where it kind of started.
Twilight did it too, didn't it? I'd never seen any Twilight movie, but I thought Twilight did something. I don't know if that was before or after.
Twilight did it. Yeah, Breaking Dawn, like part one and part two. So maybe Twilight was first. I didn't really count that though. but yeah, I suppose you could. Dead Reckoning. So, I mean, hopefully this means like this is, I think these are the last.
He's going to die.
I'm pretty sure. And
This is going to be a Bond ending for him.
Bruce should probably stop before he just he's going to die in one of these things. He's not job. But we talked about that before.
Yeah.
But moving on, another big franchise, Jurassic World Dominion released trailer number 2 on April 28th. And, you know, I thought this trailer was, I really enjoyed it. I mean, we get to see the, you know, familiar older cast quite a bit. You know, we get a lot of Sam Neill and Laura Dern and Jeff Goldblum. Of course, we get, you know, Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt and everything. But I think it shows how much these characters are going to be, you know, the older characters are going to be involved in the story. I think they're going to be involved quite a bit. There's a lot of dinosaur and human interaction taking place. I mean, of course, the dinosaurs are now like kind of living with the humans, so we'll see how that works out for the humans. Probably not well.
When you say that, I just get pictures of like the dinosaurs TV show, like they're living like in houses and
they're like eating cereal for breakfast,
wearing flannel shirts and working construction sites.
Right. But actually, our Brittany, Sydney, and I had a movie night the other night, and we watched Jurassic Park, the first one. And it's amazing how so many years ago, like, Steven Spielberg just created such an amazing film, and it still holds up as, like, the best out of this whole series.
Looks great, too, still.
It still looks really good.
Yeah, how did Sydney do with it? Because we showed it to Grace when she was probably a little younger than Sydney. She was definitely younger than Sydney, and she was terrified.
she loved it. Okay, she for some reason she doesn't get that scared. She likes scary stuff, and so she wanted to watch it again the next night.
Yeah, that was our first misstep as parents, was showing Grace that. And possibly
she's all into dinosaurs and stuff, and we were like, hey, maybe we should watch this. Cool. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this and seeing how they kind of close this series, as it were. Next up, we're gonna go back to the Hunger Games, actually, and talk about the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. And I read this novel, and I don't remember when it was now, maybe about a year ago. And I thought it was well done. I didn't love it as much as I loved reading the originals, the original trilogy of the Hunger Games books. But, you know, again, this was another something that came out of CinemaCon, where they showed a short teaser trailer, which didn't show any footage, but it showed off the date and stated the world will discover who is a song and who is a snake. No cast was revealed, but it has a release date of November 17th, 2023. If I am doing fan casting, I am casting the two lead characters, a young President Snow. I'm casting Timothée Chalamet as a young President Snow. And I'm casting... I'm trying to think of her name from Ozark, Julia Garner from Ozark, as the female lead in this story.
That's the one that looks like Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of, it's gonna be May.
I know.
Today we're talking about May. But yeah, that's who. Those were the two actors I had in mind as I was reading this story, reading this book. So we'll see what happens though.
Cool. I haven't read that yet.
Have you read this one yet?
No, I haven't yet. I'll have to add that to my rather long reading list.
It kind of goes into not quite the beginning, but like it might be like the 10th Hunger Games or something like that. I feel a young President Snow and how the games kind of evolved to what they became as we know them in the Hunger Games and Catching Fire and everything.
So wait, if it's the 10th games, the games are every year, right?
Yeah.
So he's only like 15 years younger, right? Roughly.
Well, no, because I think once they get to Catching Fire, that's like the 75th.
Oh, that's the third quarter quell. Okay, all right.
Yeah, the third quarter quell is Catching Fire.
I gotcha, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's pretty young in this one. So we'll see how this movie turns out, and I don't know if there's going to be further novels related to this one or not. But to round out the news, we have a couple more items from CinemaCon. No really official titles or more information was given, but we do know we have a green light Warner Brothers has given the green light to Batman 2. Matt Reeves back and Robert Pattinson back as the Batman again. And Ghostbusters Afterlife
Zoe
is getting
Kravitz
a sequel as well.
Too, by the way.
Yeah, Zoe Kravitz. Yeah. So I'm very excited. I loved the Batman. Mm-hmm. I watched it again recently. Just so good. And Ghostbusters Afterlife was great too. So I'm excited to see more out of those two franchises.
Do you feel better about the Ghostbusters game now?
I do, because okay. At first I was worried that the game, that game they were releasing,
although,
was what the end credits from Afterlife was all about.
To be fair, we don't know anything about this Afterlife sequel, so we don't know if,
right,
you know, what that looks like as far as cast goes, but I would imagine that they bring back that cast.
I hope Jason Reitman's going to be back. Yeah. I hope that cast is going to return in sort of the younger generation will pick it up, you know?
Yeah.
So that wraps it up for the news this week, and we are going to head into our main segment. And I actually spelled it in the show outline.
I saw what you did.
M-A-Y-N.
Yeah. I see
segment.
What you did.
And this, it's going to be called Remember May. So you know that song from Coco, Remember Me?
Yeah.
What would happen if, what would it sound like if Justin Timberlake sang that song?
Like, I'm not going to sing. I don't know.
Remember May. So today we are remembering May because I predict that this is going to be a month to remember. And I think this is arguably the greatest month in the history of TV. And especially if you go back and count from like whenever Ozark part 2 premiered, like April, I don't know if it was the 27th or 29th. If you go from like April 27th to May 27th, I think this is the best month in television, and here's why.
You're just arbitrarily creating dates now.
Yeah, it's a month. It's a month.
Messing with you.
but you have one of the greatest.
If you go from 12:01 p.m. on April.
Yeah. Hey, whatever. Just work with me here. Okay. All right,
yeah.
But if you're talking about the last season of one of our current greatest shows, Ozark, has won and will probably win even more Emmys. You have Better Call Saul is in its final season, and that's one of the best shows on television right now. I actually just watched episode 4 of the latest of this last season here just before the show, and it was just so good. Just so well done. You have also coming up in May, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi coming out, and we have Stranger Things 4 that's going to be dropping on Netflix too. So at least part 1. I think, you know, if anybody can think of a month that was more packed with potential great TV, let me know. But that's why I wanted to talk about this today. Yeah. But also sprinkled in with all that great TV, we have a couple big film releases. We talked about Top Gun Maverick a little bit. We're really going to focus in here on Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Which had its world premiere, was it last night, possibly? I think.
And, as far as like the red carpet, yeah, I think it was last night.
Yeah, and we've already gotten 131 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for this movie, and it's 80% fresh right now. The consensus is Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness labors under the weight of the sprawling MCU, but Sam Raimi's distinctive direction casts an entertaining spell. That's just kind of the consensus they come up with, but 80% so far, which is good. The only thing I'm concerned about with this movie is just the multiverse being a little bit too much to maybe understand. You know, that's my one concern with this movie. That it might just be a bit too much and pulling in too much from different multiverses and stuff like that.
I think
I don't
for
know
I
if you have
think
that concern or not,
I
but
don't.
you know.
No, I don't. I think if Spider-Man was able to do it, I think they can balance that well enough. I don't think it'll be a problem. Especially Marvel fans are going to this. You know, it's not going to be someone who wants to go see cinema. You know what I mean? Martin Scorsese would be lost. But I don't think the Marvel fans that are going to put their butts in the seats, I don't think they're going to have a problem with it.
Yeah, I hear you. And we got some recent footage too that was released leading up to this release here that showed off a little bit of Patrick Stewart's Professor X and also Captain Carter, who's I'm guessing is going to be played by Hayley Atwell. And so we got a little glimpse in this short clip of like her shield at least. So it looks like this movie is we're gonna get our first exposure to the X-Men universe here, in the MCU as we know it. And this is also gonna pull in some stuff from What If, possibly. With characters like Agent Carter and even the I don't know what the dark that like the darker Doctor Strange I forget I don't know if
Oh
there's a certain
yeah. I
you
forget what
know
the yeah.
so I'm wondering how much of What If will like tie into this. I'm wondering is anything to do with things that happen in like Loki going to tie into this. I mean, we know we have Scarlet Witch and her, the kind of the end of what was
Strange
it called?
Supreme, by the way.
Dark, yeah.
Also, I typed in evil Doctor Strange, and Google's recommendation was the evil Doctor Pork Chop.
Oh, okay. But I'm
You
thinking of
remember?
like the end of WandaVision.
That's a Toy Story. I don't know, reference on.
That's okay. I got you. I
Yeah.
got you. But the end of WandaVision, plays into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of
Sure.
Madness.
Yeah. In a
We've
big
got a
way.
lot of things kind of coming together from various kind of sources coming into this movie. So, I'm really looking forward to all these potential cameos and how this is all tied together. Is this eventually going to tie into, with Loki? It was Kang, right?
Yeah.
Does Kang have anything to do with the multiverse too?
Sure.
I think, yeah. So
Sure.
I'm like, is that gonna play a
Could.
part?
Yeah, could.
Or is that gonna stay strictly with Loki? So there's all these potential things that makes this a very exciting release, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of things that could play into this, you know. I've heard some speculation, in the comics, I guess Moon Knight has crossed paths with Doctor Strange a good bit. So, do we see Moon Knight, especially with tomorrow, well, as we're recording this, tomorrow morning being the finale of Moon Knight, do we maybe see Moon Knight pop up in this movie? Like you said, do we see the tie-in with Loki and Kang and Sylvie and all these other characters that have been introduced in the TV series, including, what if we get like a Captain America with Sam? A lot of stuff could happen here. And
There's a lot of
that's not
stuff,
even
so.
counting the multiverse stuff that we could see, the kind of strange, crazy things that could happen in that, so.
Yeah, so I think that's why I'm so excited about this movie. And not only that, but I love the first Doctor Strange. And it's one of my favorites because it was just fresh and it was different and it was sort of this ability to tap into this I don't want to call it metaphysical and kind of into
Sure,
the
yeah.
metaphysical world, and I thought that was a really fresh take for the MCU to take. And I always really enjoyed that first one. And we also have to consider, like, even the things that happened at the end credits of that first movie and how they're going to tie in to this one as well. And the consequences that Steven might have to face from, and I'm trying to think of one of the main guys. I can't think of that character's name. That was basically telling him, you know, there's going to be a price that has to be paid for this.
I haven't watched the first Doctor Strange in so long.
Yeah. And I can't think of that character's name, but I know he's probably going to be one of the main villains in this movie. So yeah, a lot to look forward to. I'm excited about it. And actually our local, well, not local, but the Reynolds Drive-In Theater, which is about 25, 30 miles north of here, is going to show it this Friday.
Oh, okay.
Along with Morbius. So there's that. But yeah. And speaking of the MCU, we're going to talk a little bit about Disney Plus May releases coming this month. There's a lot of things to look forward to here. On May the 4th, which of course is Star Wars Day, we have Disney Gallery, The Book of Boba Fett. So we'll get a look behind the scenes of The Book of Boba Fett and how they brought all of that to life. So that'll be interesting. You mentioned we have the Moon Knight finale, which is also
tomorrow,
May the 4th. Tomorrow's May the 4th. Holy crap. Mm-hmm. I'm not prepared for Star Wars Day.
I'm not either.
So we're going to see Moon Knight's finale. We have on May 11th, Marvel Studios assembled the making of Moon Knight.
You know, I love that Marvel again, we'll dig consistently into does that. Those types of things like a week after the finale.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars takes like months to do that. I love
it. It takes longer.
Yeah. I love that Marvel is like ready to go with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. And May 20th, we have Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers is going to premiere. And on the 27th, of course, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You skipped Sneakerella.
I did skip Sneakerella, so I didn't know if there was any that I skipped that you wanted to talk
about. Chip and Dale looks honestly pretty fun in May 20th.
Yeah.
I don't know why it looks fun. It looks crazy. It looks insane. It looks stupid. It looks fun for some reason. So I am looking forward to Chip and Dale.
Yeah. So that's what May has in store on Disney Plus. And we're also going to look in at, speaking of Disney Plus and speaking of Obi-Wan Kenobi, I have a little bit of a story to tie into that. Ian McDiarmid had a recent appearance at the Imperial. Oh, this sounds familiar for him. Imperial. Imperial Commissary Collectors Convention. And Ian McDiarmid opened up about his future with the popular Star Wars franchise. He said, there's a certain show coming soon set right around the time I may have been considered to be very active. Whether or not you will see my physical body, I cannot comment on, but you will certainly feel my presence. So I think this has got to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, we know Darth Vader's in it. We might be feeling or seeing the Emperor's presence here. Which, you know, I'm always glad to have.
What if he's just voicing a character in Chip and Dale?
That could be. So we might get Palps back in some kind of form. But let's check out HBO Max's May schedule. And, you know, I'm just going to kind of talk about a few here. If you go to comingsoon.net, you can check out. It's pretty cool. They just have a whole lineup of what's coming out in the month. There's always a big drop.
Yeah,
on that first day,
huge drop.
A bunch of movies that you know, and some of these are older movies. You know, movies like The Fugitive or Love and Basketball. It actually is the newer version of Love and Basketball. Rugrats in Paris, the movie. There you go. There's another one. But there's a whole bunch. And then some of the more interesting releases for me, looking at May 10th, The Matrix Resurrections is coming to HBO Max. So if you enjoyed The Matrix and you want to check out Resurrections again, if you have HBO Max, that'll be coming May 10th. Available on May 13th, we have Old, which came out last year. And that was a M. Night movie, I believe.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that might be interesting to check out. Yeah. I didn't end up seeing that one in the theater, so I might check out Old on May 13th. See if there's any other releases of note for HBO Max. I'm not seeing any. Are you seeing any, Adam? Anything that jumps out at you on HBO Max?
I mean, there were some smaller ones, but nothing like nothing huge. I don't think so.
Agreed. Terminator, so a couple Terminator movies coming 2, to HBO Max.
Terminator 2 is coming, which is cool.
Terminator 2, yeah.
But yeah, that's about it.
So there you go for HBO Max, and finally, we're going to talk about Netflix. And take a look at the Netflix schedule. And available May 1st is, which is already available now, 42. We talked about 42 during our baseball show a little bit.
It was on HBO Max back
about
then.
Jackie Robinson.
I wonder if it's still on HBO Max.
Maybe it's on both.
Could be.
So we have 42. If you want to really go back to some rom-coms, you've got When Harry Met Sally and You've Got Mail that are now available on Netflix. I'm really looking forward to, of course, what's available now, which is Ozark, the final season, and coming at the end of May on May 27th, Stranger Things 4, Volume 1. Available May 31st is Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Season 1 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Season 1, if you're into the Ninja Turtles.
Wait. Which? I know that Rise one's a new, but what's the other one?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Season 1.
Is that, like, we're not talking like the 80s show, are we?
We might be.
What?
We might have to look into this one, people. We got to do some research here on that one.
What date is this?
this is May 31st.
May 31st. No, that's a 2012 series.
Okay, 2012. Okay. Yeah. So as I mentioned, Adam, Stranger Things. I'm really looking forward to season 4. We've been waiting a long time. It's been almost 3 years.
Yeah.
And again, I went back and started watching season 1 again. Very excited to see where season 4 takes us. Is there anything you're looking for in particular out of this season or this show's return?
I have.
What are you most excited about?
No expectations. I'm ready to just go for the ride. Stranger Things hasn't disappointed me yet. It's one of those ones that I can't really predict. It's just sometimes it's just so off the wall. But that's kind of what I like about it. And so I usually go in with these having no idea where the story is going to go and just go for the ride. And that's what I'm going to do with this one too.
Sounds like a great way to go into it. You know, I know one thing about Stranger Things season 3 was for a couple years there, it really reminded me of the 4th of July. You know, it was kind of my new 4th of July, Independence Day, like watch, became part of that. And, because, you know, it's really set around that time period and everything. And I'm wondering what's going to be just distinctive about this season that's really going to stand out for me, and I'm excited to see these characters coming back and where the story goes from here. I was really impressed by the trailer. I thought the arrangement and the different kind of version of Don't Stop Believing, or no, it wasn't Don't Stop Believing, it was Separate Ways by Journey. It was really cool. One of my favorite songs. So I'm very excited to see this show coming back. And like I said before, I think arguably, again, from April 27th to May 27th might be the biggest month in TV history. When we're talking about Ozark coming to an end, Better Call Saul coming to an end, Obi-Wan premiering, and Stranger Things coming back. But what do you guys think out there? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you think this is the biggest month in TV history? What are you looking forward to the most? And that's what we're going to be putting out there to you guys. So, Adam, any final thoughts before we wrap things up for this week?
Nope, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Yeah, exciting month ahead.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Thank you for tuning in to episode 126 of From a Certain Point of View. Remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. We're on all of your favorite podcast apps, and if you're on one, like Apple Podcasts, it lets you leave a review. Please do so. It helps us get out to more and more people. Helps us know what you like and what you don't like about our little show here. We are continuing our Discord watch parties. We're wrapping up, and believe it or not, wrapping up Moon Knight on Thursday. We'll be watching that together at 10 p.m. Eastern in our Discord server. The link for that is in the show notes. And it's also on our website, facpov.com. There you'll find links to everywhere else you can find us on the internet, where you can send us feedback and show questions, show topic ideas, any of that stuff. Some of our socials are Instagram and Twitter. Both of those are at Certain POV Pod. Our Facebook page is From a Certain Point of View. Our email address is certainpovpod@gmail.com. And leave us a voicemail. Josh put out a little questionnaire at the end of the last segment. Is this the best month of TV ever? We would love to get your feedback on that. And to do that, all you got to do is dial 724-901-1783. Once again, that's 724-901-1783. And we would love to play your responses to that on the show. We are part of the Red 5 Network. You can find all of the Red 5 Network podcasts at red5network.com and also on Twitter at Red 5 Network. You can find me on the internet on Twitter and Instagram at TheGauze85. Josh, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JediJarJar1722 and on YouTube. My channel is called Live God's Truth. And of course, be sure while you're there to check out our YouTube channel From a Certain Point of View. And thank you so much for joining us. We're really looking forward to May. We hope you are too. And everything we said today was true.
From a certain point of view.